CliffCentral.com.
That's Baby Bash with Sugar Sugar.
That's about 10 years old, that song. 15 even. It's old. It's good though. Still good. Right, so if you did miss our chat with Gareth in the first hour, go on to cliffcentral.com. Lucas will be working on that podcast upload there. It just sounds like he's having the greatest time in South by Southwest, because that is very much his thing. Technology and strange people.
Yeah.
That's like Gareth's, that's like his nirvana, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, definitely. So over the weekends, there were quite a few number of big news stories, sort of serious ones, obviously. But then there was the not so serious. I don't know if you guys saw that clip about the guy who was, he was being all fancy pants on CNN, was it?
BBC.
Oh, was it BBC? Okay.
Oh, so
he was giving this, this talk about something, something hugely, hugely serious, and his child sort of busts in. Now, people are calling this the funniest viral clip ever, which is obviously very difficult because there's been so many.
It's right up there, though.
It is right up there. Crap, I had this thing all queued up. Where the hell's it gone? Now, here we go. There's so many different things. People are starting to analyze this clip, actually, about what went down. And then people started finding more things about it.
How did democracies respond to those scandals?
And what will it mean for...
Okay, so basically it starts off with this guy. He's in his very official-looking office, but it's so official. There's like a map of the world behind this guy's head, and you can see it's being prepped accordingly, right?
It's like his study at home.
Okay.
He's in a suit. The door is closed. This is his moment. The side parting is just right.
So the thing is, this guy is a political science professor. He is an international security analyst as well. And the BBC were talking to him about the impeachment of the South Korean president.
This is a big moment in Robert's life, right? Robert E. Kelly.
All the time, the question is, how do democracies respond to those scandals?
Baby's just walked in.
And what will it mean for the wider region? I think one of your children has just walked in. I mean, shifting.
Baby walks in dancing, okay?
Yeah.
Happy. So now the dad, this Robert guy, no look, handoff to the face.
Yes.
I mean, I didn't see anything as impressive in Super Rugby for the whole weekend. Handoff to the face.
Shifting sands in the region. Do you think relations with the North may change?
I would be surprised.
Another baby now walks in. This baby is now in one of those strollers, right?
One of those rolling things that they you put them in and then they can manipulate the device with their feet.
Surprised that they do. Pardon me.
Yeah. Now that looks like the nanny.
Apparently,
fired.
Yeah.
I'm pretty certain she's fired.
No,
now.
Apparently she is his wife.
Oh.
Apparently.
She is pulling these children up like she's pulling them out of a fire. Books are dropping down.
My apologies.
Now, if you only notice after the second or third time, her pants are down.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Her pants aren't exactly up. So clearly what happened here, okay, this is me speculating a little bit, that she was probably in the toilet, right? And she was watching the kids, went and got to the toilets, and then realized the kids are not in here.
So
she runs in, and her pants aren't even up yet.
Oh, no.
For the region.
My apologies. North,
The kids are not screaming, obviously.
Yeah.
South Korea's policy choices on North Korea have been severely limited.
I mean, that one child is screaming, and I notice it's because I think the child lost its balance and fell, but the mother kept dragging her out anyway, because now this is an emergency situation. Like, we have to get out. We have to get out.
It is completely an emergency situation. It is so funny. It really is.
The thing is, this is so good on so many levels. It's just from the little kid who comes in first, just like sauntering in, good times, good vibes, because she comes in a bit of a dance and stroll.
Yeah.
Doesn't care who daddy is talking to. I just want to see my daddy. And then the other little kid in the stroller walker
situation.
Yeah, I'm
not going to miss out on this action. Yeah, where's everybody going?
Following big sister. Oh, now I'm noticing the mother really does have her pants slightly off.
Yeah. But I don't know if you noticed, I think it was the first time when this Robert guy started apologizing. He actually was trying to stifle a laugh.
Yeah. But, and the thing is, why not just own it? You know, it would have been so different if he just said, excuse me, and talks to the baby like, darling, daddy's busy right now. You need to go off, and walks back. But now the kids are so confused. Like, dad, why are you freaking like handing me off right now?
Why am I getting palmed off like a piece of shit? Like, this just, you know, this is the whole thing about people taking themselves so seriously when they go into media platforms. I mean, look at us. I mean, we mess up all the time. We don't shout at each other. We get on with it because that's life. So this guy is doing something from home. Home is where the family is. Okay.
Yeah.
These kids walk in. I thought the guy interviewing Robert did it pretty well. It's like, oh, so your kids just walked in.
Yes. I mean, that was a perfect opportunity for Robert to, you know, to be like, oh, okay. So he's keeping it kind of lighthearted.
Yeah. Or to say like, oh, as you can see, my children followed me. They're very interested in politics. So, you know, obviously in hindsight, you think of things like that.
Yes.
But his whole approach was, I am so serious. I am so amazing. I will hand off my child in the face.
Yeah. Like, let's just pretend none of this happened right now.
But you see, hindsight is always great because then everybody has a million and one different suggestions. But I mean, come on.
So bad.
Most of us have never been in that kind of experience where you're on live television, you're on one of the biggest international news networks of the world.
Yeah.
You're a serious professor and you're talking about a serious story. You think you could have handled it any better? Go right ahead.
Man. You know, and here Mr. Robert was. He's a professor, right?
Mm.
Here he was, Professor Kelly, trying to give the R. Kellys of the world a good name. Trying to redeem what R. Kelly did all these years.
It's just really funny, but you got to realize that if the mother, it is the mother, right? Now, for the mother.
Apparently, she's the mother, yeah.
For the mother to act like that, going in there like it was a fire and it was the end of days, you know how much he must shout at her? I told you, those kids will not come in here.
See, that's the thing. I thought it was like a nanny or something, and I'm pretty convinced then.
You know, like the
state she was fired.
The state of emergency is when you run into a room with your pants not up yet because you know you have to get those kids out sharp, quick sharp.
And you know, people were also saying that she was probably keeping low because she thought that the camera wouldn't catch her.
Yeah.
Which is so
she's trying to go under the radar.
Like, this entire thing is just human stupidity 101. Oh, let me pretend the kids are not making a noise behind me and no one else will notice. Same thing. Let me just keep my head low and no one will notice I'm right there.
Oh, I got a WhatsApp message here about why didn't the dad just stand up and take the babies out? I can only assume
that, simple.
I can assume he wasn't wearing pants either. Right. Yeah. So, Mavs, what else we got from the weekend news-wise?
Oh, wait. By the way, folks.
Oh, is there more?
Just getting your priorities straight. Well, not really more, but, you know, in planning and rather make better, you know, alternative life plans. Excuse the pun here. But have you guys got your tickets for Life yet? Our movie screening on the 23rd of March.
No.
I don't know. See, I emailed you. I hope I do.
Did you? Did you end up emailing him?
Yeah, I don't think I had to, but
okay.
No, you have to.
Under pressure.
Well, you have to because there's a lot going on in Life. Well, you know, we are doing the screening for Life starring Jake Gyllenhaal and Ryan Reynolds. And we are having the private screening on Thursday, the 23rd of March at Star Kin, of course, Sandton. And tickets, guys, just word to the wise here, already like gone. So if you're kind of sort of nice to me, I'll do some research and I'll let you know if we do have some free tickets available. But unfortunately as well, you know, if for a little special listener or two, I'll also try to find a space to see if we can get some tickets. But it's very, very exciting. Countdown to next week, Thursday, the 23rd of March for Life.
I really hope your lap isn't one of those special tickets.
You know, because I'm so nice, I might actually offer my lap to... No, I'm joking. We can scoot over and we can share a seat with someone.
Okay, hang on a second. I've got to break that announcement because Roman's on Skype.
Ah.
Morning,
he's
everyone.
He's being interviewed. His dogs are coming in the room. His children. I mean, what's going on there?
Well, I mean, talking about that video where the children come in... Why has no one asked why the guy did not just get up and take them outside?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what...
Simple.
That's what Sia said.
So there's only one conclusion. The wife didn't have pants on, then he didn't have pants on.
That's true. This is a complete... it was a no-pants party, like they say in the classics.
Indeed. And the children haven't seen him like in 2 hours. before the interview, no doubt. So,
you see, I like me a good theory.
He did look a bit flushed, actually, now that you mention it.
I'm just saying, he had no pants on. She had no pants on. And the children were like very excited to see them. So obviously they haven't seen them in a while.
Oh my goodness. They're busy making a third baby, you say.
In the office, no doubt. In the office.
I'm really content to make this a theory now. This is it. These people were having sex vigorously for 2 hours. The children were deprived of attention. And unfortunately, we all had to see this.
Yeah.
I think I need to write a piece, put it in the Mail and Guardian or something for this Friday.
We definitely need that.
I think so. It's a new theory. It's not fake news yet. And no one can prove me wrong. So.
Well, exactly. There we go. It's only fake news when you can be proved wrong. So in absence of that, it's news.
Indeed. It's my opinion. And people need to read it or listen to it in this case.
It sounds pretty good to me. But now what I want to do is I want to try to get to a position where people want to Skype me from around the world for news networks. And I want to set up like an interesting set where Meowsers then comes in and ruins it. Or I get Daniela to walk in with very little clothing. I think that's what live news really needs.
I mean, I would watch that. Or Meowsers, that is.
Oh, just for Meowsers. Got it. Okay.
So what else is happening in your life right now? We haven't actually had you on the show for quite some time. I know you and Dr. Witt are running things on the Renegade Report. You guys, the podcast downloads are crazy. Which goes to show there are still people with brains on the internet.
And you assume they're listening to us. Maybe all the haters are listening to us as well, Ben. You never know. But other than that, life is fine, really. It's just so bloody busy. I don't have time to do anything constructive with my life at all. But, yeah, fine otherwise.
Well, you yourself kind of are similar to this dad in the BBC video because you've just had a new baby. And the one thing I implore you to teach to your daughter is to not barge into your interviews. That's all.
Oh, she can. She'll probably make it more interesting. In that case.
She can do whatever she wants. Just make sure that you and your wife both have pants on. That's the only request.
Very true, Ben. That's actually a good goal to write for parenting in general. Just have pants on around your children. It's not difficult.
Yeah. It's fair enough. But what I would like to do sometime this week is actually have a chat with you about a couple of things in the world, because we've got so many stories in the last week which have really made us laugh to do with the way of the world, and we wouldn't mind some of your cutting wit just to kind of take stock of a couple of things.
Jeez, that's high praise indeed. I've been called a lot of things, but witty and it's not one of them. With absolute pleasure, Ben. Just pop me a DM, as they say.
Yeah, well, what we're going to do is we're going to have a team meeting after the show. It'll be long and rigorous, so probably 3-4 minutes. We're just going to plan the rest of the week, and then we'll just get back to it.
No, with absolute pleasure. I'll come in and sing Trump's praises. Talk about why Praveen needs to go. Yeah, it'd be great.
All those kind of conventional theories. Great. Okay, well, go and feed your dogs because they sound ravenous. They look like they eat each other at the moment.
Yeah, they can smell it from here. I shall. All right, chaps.
All right, bye.
Have a good morning.
Bye, Woma.
Bye.
And in other news, if all else fails and they need to rename their show, they can actually call it Quick Wit. Well, it doesn't have Roman's name in it. Never mind. Okay.
That's okay. We are digressing here. So, Lavali Malloy, what else is going on?
Well, a 49-year-old man must have thought that he was the Michael Scofield character from Prison Break because he got arrested on purpose in order to smuggle loads of stuff into prison. A sneaky criminal attempted to get arrested on purpose so that he could smuggle loads of stuff up his bum. Talk about dedication as well. 49-year-old Anthony McCartan hoped to get into prison by stealing two TVs from a store in Liverpool. When he was taken into custody, officers found small parcels falling out of the back of his shorts. McCartan also had a strong smell of cannabis about his person. Police officers found 6.3 grams of heroin, 23 grams of cannabis, 32 grams of cannabis resin, and 6 mini mobiles in a 7-inch package which was hidden up his bum.
Cheap as the...
I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
I should know what to say.
I don't have the words. I really...
I don't understand.
People
I don't
are
know.
Taking the function of a cavity far too far.
I mean, what's the story here, McCartan? Is it your father that's in prison that you... I don't understand. Liverpool Crown Court was told that...
Of course it happens in Liverpool.
The combined total for the stash up his butt was worth around £1,400.
What?
That was the value of the stuff that he smuggled up there.
Wow.
He admitted to he admitted attempting to smuggle the stuff into prison, but said that the drugs were for his use only. Strangely, the heroin was wrapped up in 10-pound deals. He told the court that he was a heroin addict and said that he tried to sell the TVs to a woman, but she had no cash, so she paid him in drugs.
And hold up, I don't know how badly you must want a drug, but to want a drug that's out of someone's behind, I don't know.
That's not a factor. No, because if you're addicted to stuff like heroin, where it comes from is really like the least of your problem.
Yeah, a little bit of cavity.
At that stage, you are so far gone into the addiction. Like, it doesn't matter that it comes out of somebody's backside. That's the least concerning thing.
Can you imagine an absolute drug head just going, oh, I need the next fix, I'm going to die. Oh, what, that came out of your arsehole? No, thank you.
No, thank you, I pass.
No, thank you. I shall go back to green tea until I find my next head. But it's actually fascinating. If you go through the internet over years and years and people shoving things up their ass, it's just... There's just so much content, right? 2 years ago, a man in Wyoming was found with 30 cow eyeballs up his bum. Bovine eyeballs in his anal cavity.
For what purpose exactly?
See, again, firstly, you steady yourself and then you try to muster up a question on top of that. It's very difficult. Basically, this guy worked at an abattoir, right? And he was upset with how much waste goes on here. Like, so obviously they cut the meat and all that kind of stuff, and the body parts, they get scrapped. There's no recycling. They're not being put into other things. And this dude, his name was Roy Tilbot. He was 51, and he was pulled over by the cops.
A 51-year-old man who's doing this.
Yeah. So he was pulled over by the cops one day on the way back from work. He was drunk at the time. He drinks and drives as well, so he's got a lot of things going on in his life. And he was found to have these 30 eyeballs up his asshole. So what this is his reasoning, right? So you got to kind of commend this guy where he went with this. He said, firstly, he's outraged. He's outraged at the amount of waste that goes on at this factory, okay? He has been persisting for a greener approach to recycling these parts. He says the eyeballs are great and they get wasted, and none of the staff are allowed to take any of these things home. That's why he's been forced to smuggle them outside of his anal cavity.
For what?
Well, because he suffers from erectile dysfunction. The story gets better. He suffers from erectile dysfunction, and by having bovine eyeballs in a soup, it cures his erectile dysfunction. He also says he loves the taste of them. It makes a great texture as well. And it gets better. This isn't the first time he's been doing this, right?
Uh-huh.
Prior to this bum bust, he had smuggled thousands of eyeballs from his anal cavity over the years.
Wow. So you see, Sia, this guy isn't even on any kind of drug, but he's prepared to eat eyeballs that come out of his own butt.
See, the drug part would make it slightly justifiable.
You know what? This guy is lying, though, because when he says that this company doesn't do anything with the eyeballs and that they go to waste, that's a lie, because isn't that part of the stuff that ends up in our beef sausages and our pork sausages?
Well,
it's eyeballs and bits of ear, bits of snout, a little bit of hoof.
Well, at this particular plant that he works at, he says all the stuff gets wasted. It gets thrown into a trash skip.
Oh.
So they are not only that they're wasting opportunities to make money, but they're wasting a lot of good things you can use from an animal. You know, you can use so much when you slaughter these animals.
I'm sorry to ask the...
This is just going to make the story go down even better, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
Ask away.
I'm sorry to ask the obvious question here, but you have now shoved 30 eyeballs up your anus.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I've got to stop you there. I think we'd use arsehole, anus, anal cavity. We've used every single possible word so far.
All right.
Except booty.
This is brilliant.
Anal cavity. So is it then just a case of getting home and... pooping them out, or do you need a bit of assistance with a diuretic? In which case, how are you eating eyeballs that you have literally come out as diarrhea?
I assume you put them in a bag, maybe. Maybe.
I'm also guessing it's the bag.
Oh, you shove a whole bag up your anal cavity.
That doesn't work.
How?
So do not tell me you're putting like 50 Ziploc bags.
But how? How?
Hold up.
I just think some things maybe left the imagination. So if you want to spend the rest of your Monday imagining how you can get 30 bovine eyeballs up your ass, then
what is it 50? Is it 50?
30.
30.
30 is a lot.
But the process
it's an
of
anal cavity, Sierra. It's not a bottomless pit.
One by one. Like, that's at least, guys, a 40-minute job. At least one.
I tell you what, it says a lot about the durability of a bovine eyeball as well.
But also, isn't the anal cavity kind of tight? I would imagine that once the eyeballs are in there, they get squished. You know, it's a tight space in there. It's not exactly like a checkers bag. Do you know what I'm saying?
And when in the process of that, you know, supposed 40 minutes, do you not say to yourself, this is screwed up, bro. Like, let me cut this out.
You know what, guys? Everyone has a thing in life, right?
Mm.
Everyone's got a thing.
You can't compare your thing to shoving.
No, but this is just it. This is my point. This man is 51, okay?
Yeah.
He's probably over his wife. His job's not that stimulating. His thing is putting the eyeballs up his bum. That's his thing. Like, we cannot judge people like this. We can only just say, well, as long as he's not molesting children or evading tax or doing anything horrible. Go on. You keep on with those eyeballs.
And also we could thank them for making, you know, our Monday morning just that much more interesting because,
oh, man,
imagine if you hadn't heard this guy's story today, how mundane your Monday would have been.
Yeah, exactly.
See, what's sadder for me is that he's now been ousted for this. And it's one thing if he was doing it in his own private capacity. He is on his guaranteed community newspaper, even, Nochal. No, how does he face the guys and the canteen or cafeteria now?
Well, exactly. You're a small town person. I mean, whenever this guy goes to anything, I mean, when he goes into his local butcher, they're going to go, oh, hang on a second. We still don't have eyeballs. Or maybe he's supplying the butcher.
Oh, shame.
Dudley's got an update about the Fukushima story. He's given us a link here. Dudley, unfortunately, we can't access that link because you've sent it on the WeChat. It's on a screen which we can't really click onto. So, but thank you for that. We'll look into that and give you a Fukushima update tomorrow.
Okay.
Jared's all for the sexual practices of prisoners. Okay, Jared, I'm not entirely sure where that comes from, but go ahead.
Sexual practices.
Alice is loving the story.
The person who took drugs.
Yeah, well, that's fine. That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine. Alice says this reminds him of Trainspotting. He's looking forward to watching the second one this weekend. He watched the first one last weekend because, of course, all the drugs and putting things in places. And Ashley, no, I was never full vegan, and I stopped that over a year ago. Thanks for asking. Yeah. Is there a slightly cleaner story?
There's a slightly cleaner story and actually very heartwarming, but I'm struggling to get to grips with this. Imagine this, folks. So a woman has met her 7-year-old daughter for the first time after falling into a coma while giving birth. Man, I'm going to butcher her name. Danjela Kovacevic developed a sepsis during childbirth in 2009. And for years, her daughter Maria longed for her to wake up. And the girl reportedly kept a vigil by her mother's bedside in Serbia day in, day out. Literally, this kid just grew up with this image of her mother in a hospital bed, straight out of school. She'd come and spend time with her mother. And finally, 25-year-old Danjela has woken up, but the mother is still unable to speak or feed herself, uses an adult diaper, but it looks her and her progress looks promising. The family started a GoFundMe page with the hope of raising funds for her expensive rehabilitation costs. So she has already been through thorough, extensive physical and speech therapy, but her family says it needs about $50,000 for a treatment to continue. But imagine that. Seven years in a coma, essentially.
Does she remember that she gave birth? Do we know what her the state of her memory is.
So they don't speak much about that. So the only thing that they...
Because can you imagine you wake up from a seven-year coma and you've suffered memory loss, and then they're like, oh, by the way, here's your seven-year-old daughter. You're like, what? I don't understand.
Shucks.
But also, side note, kind of cool, because the first 7 years are all admin, right? At least the kid's going to be like,
okay, that's
I mean, I think this woman's a genius.
Yeah. That's one way to look at the silver lining, yeah. Benjamin. But no, this is, yeah, this is a lot. The only advancement.
Parents are going to opt in for this in future.
No, Ben.
Shame. I mean, it sounds like she's got a long way to go still to make
very.
A full recovery. So she's not even able to speak right now.
Because they say essentially she's a kid herself now. She needs to learn how to walk. She needs to put on weight. She needs to, well, she's learned how to react and smile, and she gets angry as well. So far she's walked 100 meters, and that's supposedly a very big achievement. But yeah, it's for someone who wears a diaper, gets changed every 3 hours. She needs to be fed. She's given medication. There's a long way to go, but for me, it's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
What a movie this is going to be here. Growing up with my child. Like, this is such a great movie to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you think, like, you give birth, but your child actually is your
older
mother.
Than you. Yeah.
Your child actually brings you up. Yeah. This has got Oscar written all over it.
There's a story there. There's a story.
Can you imagine the people queuing up for the screenplay of this?
You see, and this is why, I don't know, folks. My mother and I were speaking about this a while ago, and it seemed kind of morbid, actually, that we're discussing these matters on a Sunday evening. But she said that, you know, if she ever happened to be in a coma, for her, a month, and that's it, we must switch the machines off. And at first it's like, no, that's kind of cruel, but I get it. For her, she says, even, you know, the chances that you'll come out of a coma and lead the same life that you lead now, which is, you know, hopefully, you know, healthy, able, fit, physical, you know, taking care of yourself, are very, very slim. So for her, she's just like, you know what? Good innings. If it's meant to be, it's meant to be. But after a month, switch the machines off. And you think about the family that stood by this lady for 7 years straight, just with what? A hope and a prayer. And actually she's made a return, but yeah.
What makes you think of the whole Michael Schumacher thing as well? Like, how long can you actually physically be on a machine? Because obviously you can stay alive.
He's still
right?
just on machines now.
Well, he's not exactly walking around. So obviously through modern science, you can stay alive and you can stay on the map, you know, with the pulse. But at what stage is it, are you able to actually have a decent life after that? Like obviously there isn't enough cases to figure this out, but there's got to be some sort of equation there. If you aren't active, you become a bit of a vegetable. Having to be like retaught how to go to the toilet.
Yeah. Because your body's just deteriorating throughout that time.
Your muscles are completely atrophied.
Yeah.
Can you actually have a life?
Well, as we've discovered with this woman, I mean, she basically can't do anything. She can't speak. She can't feed herself. She can't use the bathroom by herself. She can't walk.
How do you stay alive when you're in a coma? I know this seems like a stupid question, but for seven, so you aren't fed because you're in a coma.
Yeah, but you're in a drip, okay? In that drip, you've got all kinds of things that you need. So you're going to be hydrated enough. You're going to have enough minerals and elements coming into you. Mm. I mean, I'm no doctor, obviously.
Do you have like bowel movements when you're in a coma?
Well, I imagine because I imagine you being fed intravenously, right? Yeah. So I'm assuming that your bowel movements can also be controlled by all sorts of tubes being put in different parts of you.
Yeah. Okay, got you.
No, you can be run. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you can live in these things. There's machines keeping you alive, doing everything. Like, a machine can even breathe for you. Mm. It's as simple as that. So you can just, you can stay in the game, so to speak.
I wonder how much your medical costs were for the past 7 years. You know, they say it's $50,000, you know, just to continue the treatment on. But for 7 years, what are the medical treatments like? Shucks.
Well, some countries have better care than others, but yeah, we're looking at, she's ruined, obviously.
Yeah. Man. Well, yeah, that's another way to start your Monday.
Yeah,
on the upside of people putting things up there behind.
Right. Well, that's, those are two big medical stories, aren't there, so far? Mubs, you got anything of a non-medical basis?
Yeah, I don't know if the putting things in your behind is a medical thing.
Anatomy falls under medical.
That's kind of just sad and stupid.
Well, Chris Angel. Is anybody familiar with Chris Angel?
He's that magician guy, yeah. But he's also in the dark arts.
The dark arts. What are those?
Well, all his magic is very dark. It's like goth, and he's definitely slaughtering sheep on the side.
Oh, okay.
He's just got a look about him.
He dated Holly Madison after the Playboy Mansion days. Yeah, he did.
Okay, so anyway, he was rushed to hospital after one of his stunts went wrong during his Mind Freak live show in Las Vegas. Either that or this was just a brilliant publicity stunt. The stunt involves Chris Angel being suspended upside down by his feet while he is strapped in a straitjacket, which, you know, I assume the stunt is escape. But unfortunately, he then lost consciousness while he was suspended upside down in the straitjacket. They then had to lower him back to the stage, where they then rushed him to hospital. He was evaluated and was released the following morning, but it is not yet known what caused the 49-year-old to lose consciousness while he was being suspended upside down. This is according to the statement that was released via his Twitter page after the fact. And this happened during a live show in Las Vegas. But I mean, with the kind of stunts that Chris Angel does, I mean, he should expect things like this to happen every now and again.
And you also, things like this have to happen for PR purposes, obviously.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, exactly. But with all of these things, right, like you've got to practice a lot. This is a trained art, obviously. You don't suddenly do magic. I always want to know, like the sort of takeouts of these guys' lives and careers. Like, because you've obviously got to have a lot of confidence taken to the public realm. What went wrong in the first few stages? How many times have these guys been resuscitated? Have they been found in strange positions by family members? I'd love to know that kind of stuff.
I mean, if you are escaping from a straitjacket, how many times maybe have you popped your shoulder out or, you know, something? I don't know.
For his case, I'm glad he didn't, you know, he wasn't in the middle of those sword swallowing acts and something went wrong. At least here you can resuscitate him and he'll sort of be fine. But at what cost as well, though?
Yeah, but he signed up for it, so I'm sure he understands the... The terms and conditions.
I am not here.
I mean, that's also part of the appeal, isn't it? Is the thrill and the rush that he must get every time he does something death-defying or whatever. It's part of the addiction.
Yeah, I also believe that these guys all have their own like secret meetings. And then they, you know, like Dynamo and David Copperfield, know where he's still busy with supermodels. Like they all have these secret meetings where I'm sure there's a magic club.
Must be.
I'm always fascinated to hopefully find out one day, like, do these magicians use magic in their daily lives? You know, like if Chris has a son or something and the son walks up and says, "Daddy, we have no milk." And he says, "No, we do." Because well, that for me is cool.
Jared's just chiming in on our medical discussion here. The difference between being a vegetable, I mean, I don't know, is that vegetative state is what they use, right?
So is a vegetative state, I think, is
it okay to call someone a vegetable?
No, probably not.
All right. So the difference between being a vegetable and in a coma is all brain functions are normal. A vegetable, most of the brain functions are no longer working. But you see, the basic question is, when do you get classified as being in a vegetative state?
That's a bit.
When your brain stops functioning?
Because that's kind of when the conversation goes with the family, like, okay, this is what's happened. We are in a position where we can turn the machines off.
Like being brain dead, essentially. Yeah.
But can you then bounce back from that? I don't believe you can.
Well, if this woman that Sia was telling about is having to relearn how to talk, it means that at some stage, parts of her brain stopped functioning. You know, parts of the brain that enabled her to do certain things obviously got compromised. The fact that she's relearning everything.
So this is a case where, you know, some people are in comas and they say, they can hear you, you know, or someone wakes up and says, like, they could pick up the conversation. They just couldn't react. That's different to being brain dead, where you're just somewhere there for 7 years.
Yeah, geez, it's a horrible place to be in as a family, because you never want to let someone go.
I know, but you have to think of the quality of life. You have to. And after that conversation with my mother as well, I now am pro that. I wouldn't want to just be strung along and not knowing. Well, more than my mother. I said 3 months. You know, I think a month is a bit too early, folks. You know, that's just 29 nights. So give me at least, you know, 90 days to make a decision before you cut the cords. It's unfortunate. Yeah.
It is a bit unfortunate. But I'll tell you what's also unfortunate is being an Arsenal fan right now.
Oh.
Now, look, we've all been there. Sport is a cruel mistress, as they say. But someone has now actually created a song about Arsenal being so shite. It's really, really funny. A guy called Jim Daly.
20 years, Wenger has been in charge, but the last few have been a total farce. Things will never change until he quits, but hey, that's the way it is.
That's the way it is. Well, Rich Mulholland is here with us, and I know he's an Arsenal fan, so he's not going to worry about that kind of jibber-jabber in his life. Rich, how you been?
I'm good. Fantastic.
Well, you always are. And I'm still loving those YouTube clips. I look forward to them.
Thanks, man. My one just went live probably 20 minutes ago. It's on accountability with Mike's trust and how you can leverage trust. Mm-hmm. It's actually Mike Stopforth's take on what Uber really innovates on. I think it's pretty good. It's smarter because it's him, not me.
But that's what you smart people do. You talk to each other and you come up with really great other ideas.
See, I'm here right now talking to you smart people.
Debatable.
That's cute.
No,
that's sweet.
Can I just say, this morning's bovine eyeball was the greatest radio I have ever heard. Mm-hmm. I was laughing out loud. When you spoke about the durability of a bovine eyeball, I actually was giggling. I was like the idiot in my crash helmet laughing.
Well, when you shoved about 1,000 up your arsehole, you found it out. Yeah. So that guy, he was a complete professional.
You know, like, can I just say though, if I'm going to stick anything up my ass, I think an eyeball is probably like soft, gentle.
You know, it'll go up there easily.
Yeah, moisturize. It's like self-moisturizing.
Love that this is now actually a
So Rich, we got a bit of a conundrum this morning. As always, we get thrust with things when Gareth goes away. Okay, I stopped using the word thrust. That's not good.
Did you see Gareth on that VR thing flapping his arms like a bird? Please can we rag him about that when he gets back?
We're taking a list here of things we're going to rag him about. It's growing thick and fast. So we've actually got such little
time.
Said.
Yeah. I know, you know, this conversation is beyond me now.
So we've got an interview current with Mark Oppenheimer. That's Gareth's big interview today. So we're going to have a slightly curtailed version of the reality check. See, I hate being that guy. Look at me. I get thrown with all responsibility. Anyway, we got you here. This is the important thing. What's going on in your head right now?
Okay, so I was on the weekend. This is something I've maybe brought up before, but I think it deserves a proper full go. I'm a motorcyclist, and almost the first thing everybody turns around and says to you is, oh, aren't you scared of being hit by a taxi?
I get that every day as well.
Right. No, I'm scared of being hit by a middle-class person on a smartphone. Actually, taxis pay attention, okay? The taxi drivers are the guys, they're the only other people on the road using the road like a motorcyclist. The reason they look, like when I see how they move exactly the same way as us. They take little gaps, they do things, because they are active users of the road. Right now, 3/4 of your listeners are listening to this thing while watching, you know, their Twitter stream. And I know you've just looked up now, you thought, oh shit, she's talking about me. Yes, I'm talking about you. Put your bloody phone down. You're going to kill me. Look behind you. There's a motorcyclist coming up in the lane. And I think people give taxi drivers a bad rap because they don't stop to consider exactly what's going on. Now I want to talk about what John Flismas has to say about this. Do you guys know John Flismas, the comedian?
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Right? So I once saw him at a show, and he said something that changed my mindset on taxi drivers forever. And his basic premise was that, okay, so you're sitting there and you're employing these people and you're not paying them enough money for them to live close to where they work, right? So you're paying them a minimum wage. That means that they have to live pretty far away because they can't afford to live in the suburbs in which your offices are.
Yeah.
Then what you're doing is, because of that, they also can't afford a car. So they rely on public transport. Now, the only public transport that's available is a taxi that they have to get up and stand at 5 o'clock in the morning in order to get to work to start at 8 or 9. And they're queuing in the cold and the rain while you're lying snug in your bed. And then those people people, they get onto their taxi. And, you know, if they get late to work, we have a shit fit. Like, how dare you get to work late? You must plan better. Yeah. And then we're sitting there in our 5-seater family sedan with their aircon on, listening to Cliff Central, having an amazing time. And we're upset because the taxi driver cut in front of you in order to get these poor fuckers to work early. Just what is going on? How is this okay? Reframe your mind, right? They don't want to be sitting there either. This poor taxi driver is getting pressure from 10 people who've got to get to work on time, and they're already upset because they've already been up 4 hours. Now, I understand it's not ideal, and I understand it's a bit horrible when the guy cuts in front of you. But just stop to consider, if we had proper transit lanes for these guys, because that would be the justice here, right? Sure. If we had proper transit lanes for taxi drivers so they didn't have to make up their own rules. But if I can just ask you this week for a little bit of apathy, when that, I promise you, that taxi driver, he's the first guy to move over to let me in on my motorcycle. He's the first guy to wave at me at the traffic lights. And if I can just ask you just to stop and consider how long those people have been sitting in that taxi in order to get to work with you today, and maybe instead of getting angry, just instead of being pissed off about the fact that that taxi driver is cutting you off, maybe just wave at the person and let them in. All you're doing is you're getting the people that you love and care about, that you try and forget that they're going through that, get to work a little bit early with a little bit less stress.
And also get over yourself as if you've never broken a single rule of the road before.
100%. Exactly.
Get over yourself.
Rich, that is absolutely amazing, as always. YouTube. What's your, sorry, I forget.
It's youtube.com/C/richmulholland.tv. But what I do is I release it on my Facebook. Like, I've got a Facebook page thing. Yeah. That's Rich Mulholland, and also on Twitter, Rich Mulholland. So one of those things. But if you would subscribe to YouTube, that'd be great, because I'd love the numbers. Thanks.
Awesome,
guys. Thanks so much. Have a fantastic week.
Rich, thanks so much. I'll see you very soon.
Get myself some eyeballs.
too much.
Let's go with bovine here. The fish ones won't last the transit.
Absolutely.
Oh, no.
All right. Gareth had a long chat with Mark Oppenheimer, and here it is for you. CliffCentral.com.